Getting into today's message, we are in our last week of the Identity series, and I trust that it's been really fruitful and a blessing to you. Today we're in week 6, and we still have the message coming up for the life groups. So if you're taking notes, it'll be on page, shout out a page number, 14 of your workbooks. And then in the life groups this week, we'll be learning about how do I live a life on mission and purpose. What we believe affects how we behave, and the clearer our revelation of Jesus, the more we want to be like Jesus, and the more we want to be with Jesus, and the more we want to do what Jesus did. And what's amazing is that God is absolutely committed to the process of transforming our lives, and all we need to do is surrender, as the words come up again and again. And as we surrender our will and our ways to live for Jesus Christ, He transforms our lives, and He's 100% absolutely with His whole life committed to the process, and therefore we should be too. He guides us, and He loves us absolutely, but love is not to control. God doesn't control us. God loves us, and love guides us. So He surrenders. We surrender control and we give it to Jesus Christ. We have a responsibility to accept what Jesus is saying and doing, or to reject it. But right now, that's up to us. So going through the series, we can accept or reject what God is trying to do in our lives, even in this space. So just a bit of a recap. Week 1, we looked at this picture up on the screen. There it is. Okay. So what we see versus what God believes. The goal of this series is to get what God sees in us and what thinks about us and what we think about ourselves to line up, because what we think about ourselves can be radically offline to what God actually thinks. And some of us have believed what we believe for so long that it's very difficult to believe anything else. It's like a jar that's been, do you know when a jar feels like it's fused to the actual container or the glass, and you cannot open the jar. And some people have had a train of thought that's been so stuck on the way of life that it just seems to be closed forever. But if we give ourselves to Jesus Christ, there's no jar too tough for Him to open. He will open it. And I feel that part of this, and the word that we heard from Gail this morning and from others confirmed, that we need to absolutely surrender. So, just going recap. Week 1, we looked at these circles. Week 2, I am a son or daughter. It's not me confused. I am a son. You are a son or a daughter of the Most High God, and He is my Father. You are a child of God as Christians. Week 3, I am a servant. He is my Master. We want to go through life being served, but the truth is God saying, serve me, learn to serve. God Himself came to serve. Week 4, I am a saint, Christ is my Savior. Week 5, I am a citizen of heaven, He is my King. We are citizens of heaven, that's massive. And this week, if you're taking notes, I am an ambassador, Christ commissioned me. I am an ambassador, Christ commissioned me. So I want to start sharing a testimony of something I went through many years ago. So years ago, before I was married, I went with a group of friends to Mozambique. Anyone here been to Mozambique? No, a lot of people. It's very nice. So 7 of us went there, and we had our surfboards and our massive backpacks and very little money. So we went on, and we were going to go explore, and we were going to minister the gospel, and we were going to pray for the sick, and we were just going to go on a mission trip and have some fun. So we had all the gear, no idea. You've heard that before. All the gear, no idea. So off we were, you know. And this is the days before cell phones. So it wasn't like we could just call somebody or look things up. There was no data, no cell phones, no Google Maps. All we had was an old Lonely Planet and the locals. That's all we had into Maputo, or I don't know how you pronounce that, into Maputo. And when we got there, to make our way all the way up to Inyamban or Barra Beach. So we're like, surf's good there. Let's make our way, and we will minister along the way. That's about 500 kilometers north of the border. So we were going a long way into Mozambique. And the only way to get there was to hitch or catch public transport. So the bus arrives in Maputo, and it's late in the evening. It's kind of getting dark. And we say, now what? We have no idea where to go, where to stay, what there is, if there's a backpackers, how much it'll cost, if we'll use all our money on the first day. We have no clue. So we just start walking around aimlessly, We're walking around, but we don't know where we're going. And it's getting dark. So I come up with a brilliant idea. I said, guys, let's hitch. Let's catch a lift. Where to? I don't know. But anywhere other than here, because I don't want to be here right now. It's like the city, it's getting dark. Let's go. So I put my thumb out and cars are going past. Why nobody stops for seven people with backpacks and surfboards is beyond me. I don't understand. Can you imagine? It's like, so we pray, Lord, please help us. You know, we want to have fun, but we're with you. A very short while later, this car stops and a guy in a Pajero or whatever kind of big SUV it was, I can't remember exactly, he stops and he says, where are you going? To which I reply, I don't know. But I'd really like us to go there. So we're just looking for a place to stay. We don't know where. Backpackers, a decent bridge, something safe. Like, we don't know where we're going. We just want to go there. So he says, everyone, climb in. So all of us, backpacks, surfboards on the roof, all of our backpacks. There were a lot of us, eight of us in the car. And this is a bit of a detour, but I found out that that's nothing compared to what we went through later on. At one stage during the trip, this is a proper detour, we're hitching somewhere, we're further north, and this taxi stops. So we're like, yes, please, taxi stops. We get into the taxi. Each backpack is the size of a human. It's like a big backpack. I sat in the taxi, and I counted 23 of us, right? 23 people, plus backpacks, plus surfboards. And eventually we, like, this thing is rickety and it's, do you know when you're going sideways, but you're looking at the side windows, but you're going forward. Like, that's how this taxi was. It's sketchy. And then we eventually get to this place and I'm thinking, we stop over at this little patch of dirt on the side of the road. And I was thinking, I hope everybody in this taxi lives here. You know, because then they can all get out. And then instead of that, there's this old lady and she gets into the taxi with this big bucket of freshly cut meat. So she climbs in it and we're like trying to move the meat over and there's meat and flies and she squeezes in and we can't close the door. Anyway, traveling is fun. Back to the Pajero, right? That was later on. So this guy in the Pajero, he takes us to this huge house and he says, I've just moved to Maputo and this is my new house. No one's ever lived in it. It's absolutely brand new. Everything inside is brand new. He had new beds in many bedrooms. It was a huge house. He had lots of beds. There was still plastic on the beds and on the pillows. It was brand new. And he says, I'm staying somewhere else, so I've got to go sort out my wife and my kids. So I'm staying somewhere else tonight, so you guys can stay here. So no one's ever lived. He says, by the way, you're the first people to ever sleep in this house. Right? So we don't even know who this person is. So we take the plastics off, I take the plastic off the bed and off the pillow. That night, I slept on a king size bed in my own room with an ensuite and the aircon blowing on me all night. It was amazing. Then we wake up in the morning and the guy that owns the house, he arrives with coffee and croissants for all of us. For my brother living in France, he's probably going to say I pronounce it wrong. It's croissant. You know the French, they're awesome. So I had my coffee and my and we were sitting there. So we're chatting and I asked this guy, like, we start asking him his story and we start talking to him about God. And it turns out that he was the ambassador of the United States for Mozambique, which explained his American accent. So the ambassador of the States in Mozambique picked us up and took us to his brand new house and let us take the plastic off and sleep on these brand new beds, new thing, and blessed us with everything. The definition of an ambassador, if you just look it up online, an ambassador is a high-ranking diplomatic representative who is appointed by the country's government to represent their interests in a foreign country. We weren't even American, yet the way he treated us was like we were his own family. We were not Americans. He just saw us, picked us up, and blessed us. So our primary text for today is 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 to 20. And I encourage you, church, let it settle in your heart. Take it into scripture every day. Like we heard this week, that Jesus is the word in print. The Bible is the word in Jesus in print. That was it. So get to know Jesus by going through the word. This is what it says. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. If you are a believer in this room, You are a new creation. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So he reconciles us, puts us back in right relationship, and then says, now you go with the same thing and put others in right relationship. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Your sins, as of today, if you are a believer, are not being counted against you. That's massive. That's relieving. Right? I have lost my place. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So it's Christ's message to us, and then Christ's message through us. Be reconciled to God. Fricky this morning came up, goosebumps, touched by God, saying, be reconciled to God. It's our ministry. It's our mandate. It's for all of us. We are ambassadors of God. So today we're going to look at three phases from this passage, and we're going to break them down, truths from this particular thing. Number one, which I will go through, so you don't have to write these all down now. New creations, reconciliation, and ambassadors. So number one, if you're taking notes, we are new creations. Anyone in Christ is a new creation. The old has gone. The new is here. When we make Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior, we are born again. So the first time that we are born into a broken, dysfunctional, sinful, messed up world. And then through our revelation of Jesus Christ, we give him our lives, and then we are born again. We are born into a totally different world. Our spirits come alive. We become new creations. Right? This is something that Jesus does in us. He makes us new. So we are not the old me trying to learn new habits. Through Jesus Christ, we are new, the new me, undoing old habits. Right, so you are a new creation. We are in this world, but we are not of it. If someone said to me, hey Tim, I want to give you, and I always pick on this particular car, I want to give you a new car. And then they give me a recently patched up 1981 Datsun Pulsar. It might be new to me, yet it's an old car that's been patched up. I'm not saying that I wouldn't be grateful, by the way, if you do have a 1981 Datsun Pulsar you want to give away. I'm not saying I wouldn't be grateful, I'm saying it's not new. It's an old car that's patched up. Through Christ, we are new creations. Not the old patched up, not the old cleaned up, not the old trying harder. We are new creations, part of a new home, new father, new identity, new citizenship, new future. As a permanent state of being, you are permanently a new creation. You are not your sin. You are not your failure. You are not your past. You are a new creation. You're a son and daughter. You're a citizen of heaven. You are an ambassador of the King of Kings. You are completely new. Right? Going back to my trip to Mozambique, we ended up staying there for, I can't remember exactly how long we were there, but I think it was around about 10 days. And when we left, it wasn't as glamorous as when we arrived. We arrived back in Maputo the night before the bus left. So we were catching a bus from Maputo back to Durban. And again, we arrived, it was dark, it was getting dark. We had even less money than when we started the trip. And again, it was evening, we needed a place to stay, and this time it started to rain. But it's like tropical rain. It starts to properly bucket down. And we are staying in an environment that's properly sketchy, right near the bus stop, because we don't want to miss the bus, and then we got other problems. So we are in a sketchy area, and we're there, and we've got to survive the night so that we can be there for the early morning bus. So we ask a person, so we run into this this hotel, motel place. And we ask the person of this fine establishment, you know, how much it costs to stay here. And his response should have given away the nature of the place we're staying in. They said, how many hours? What? That's not right. So we say, like, hey, look, we want to stay for the night. So based on what money we've got left, they take us to a room. And it's absolutely empty. There's no table, there's no chair, there's no curtains, there's no bed. It's just an empty room with a window. Sketchy. And I asked the guy, where are the beds? And he says, no, come with me. And he takes us to a room at the end of the corridor and says, you can grab a mattress out of here. We clean them. Now, these things are stuck together. And instead of peeling one off the other, we decided we'd rather just sleep on the floor in our sleeping bags. The floors were concrete, yet that enough dirt gives it a bit of a cushion effect. So it wasn't too bad. Even then I was like, oh, my sleeping bag. Oh, my surfboard bag. I was like, you know, if you're a germaphobe, that would have, you know. The reason that I'm sharing this is because when we arrived, we had new beds. When we left, we had old beds that were cleaned up. When Jesus says we are new creations, we are not the old cleaned up. We are new creations. Like Steve talking about his travels in Africa. By the way, I loved Mozambique. I loved it so much that I've gone back multiple times. But when I was staying in that motel, hotel, hourly joint, whatever it was that night, I was thinking, I am so glad that I am an alien or stranger to this place and just passing through. I have another home to look forward to. I was very grateful for that. To go through life, and some of you, I believe, really need to hear this, to go through life believing that we are tainted and broken and too dirty to even serve a purpose is a lie that keeps us trapped in the dark end of a dirty corridor. And then we live with that line. We never step into the glorious new creation that God has made us to be. We are born again. New creations. Not the old sprayed down or wiped down. You are a new creation. And we can't be new creations living with this old mindset. If you give your life to Jesus today, you are brand new. As a permanent state of being. And the reason God made you will come to pass. So I'm not sure if Steve and I have done any justice when it comes to traveling. I've been to some very sketchy places, and I think to myself, oh, but then, Tim, you're traveling through Africa. The second worst place I've ever been to was in America. Now, that was another level of, anyway, we're not going there. We're not going there. We are new creations. The next word from the scripture is reconciliation. Reconciled. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18 and 19. We're going to go over the scripture, massage it in. All of this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. You have been given a ministry by God himself. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ and not counting people's sins against them. When we are made new, this is what Jesus does in us. Jesus does this. When we are reconciled, this is what Jesus does between us. Years ago, I watched this documentary, and it's about this American, it's a documentary, this is American girl, and she starts a YouTube channel. So she, you know, makes videos with her and her friends, and she puts them up on YouTube. And then one day, some guy in France, the French again are coming up, some guy in France, he sees this video, and he says to one of his friends, who's this other girl, he says, it's amazing. You look so similar to this girl. And if ever anyone said to you, you know, you look similar to someone, you see them and you're like, I can kind of see what you say, but I don't really look the same. She looks at the video and she says, that is me. Like, she's like, how did you do that? How did you film that? And also she's speaking in English and I'm French. Eventually they realize that they are identical twins that were separated at birth through adoption. One went to America, and one went to France. Then at 25, they meet each other for the very first time. And immediately, can you imagine, they haven't seen each other in person. They've figured out who they were online. They planned to get together. They've never seen each other. And immediately, from the moment that they saw each other, they were hugging. They were holding each other. They were crying. They were latching on. They didn't even realize they were twins, and all of a sudden they had somebody that they couldn't let go of. And eventually they need to go home. One has to go back to France, one back to America, and they've just met. They've just found out really that they are twins. They didn't even speak the same languages. Yet it was like a tearing apart when they had to leave each other, crying and a longing to be together. This is a picture of reconciliation. We are created to be with God. When we give our lives to Jesus, we are put back together. We are united with who we were meant to be with. Sin separates. It damages relationships. Yet Jesus pays the penalty of our sin, even though it was our fault, not his. And with sin dealt with and forgiven, he reconciles us to himself. When we come to the cross, it bridges the gap between us and God. Verse 18 says, not counting people's sins against them. Our sin, all of our sin, stays at the cross. All of it, completely detached from us. It remains at the cross. And we cross over from our sin, from this life, into a new life, into the loving hands of a loving God. When people have a revelation of this, they approach Jesus like those twins approached each other. When you have a revelation of who Jesus is to you, there's this longing, there's this yearning, there's this desire in you to run to the front and say, I want to be reconciled to the God who gave me life. He's the reason that I live. Desperate to never be apart again. The twins didn't sort of stroll together and they thought, oh, well, I'll give this a go. You know, it's casual consideration. Let's see who you are. They knew exactly who they were. And they figured it out. They were identical twins separated. In this situation, we are meant to be with God. It's how we were designed. And we are called to be reconciled to our God. This morning, there were words saying that some of us have drifted. You were close to God. You were holding on to God. He was your passion, your desire. And over time, stuff happens and happens. Things happen. Life happens. Things get hard. And there's this distance. And I believe God this morning is saying, run back into my arms. These twins were undone, grateful to be restored, reconciled. When we have this relationship, this revelation, there's a longing, a desire, gratitude that can't be explained. All of a sudden, our lives are filled with hope. We are new people. And we don't say this. Let's just keep this between us. We want the whole world to know. Guess what? I've been reconciled. There was a relationship that's broken and it's back together again. They wanted the world to know. And the people that knew them were celebrating this miracle. Through Jesus, we are reconciled, put back into right relationship with Almighty God. I know that you might think, oh, this is kind of trivial stuff. And we know Jesus already. But some people are drifting. And I believe God this morning is saying, stop the drift. Be intentional about coming back to me. Number three. We are ambassadors. When we are made new, this is on the screen. This is what Jesus does in us. When we are reconciled, this is what Jesus does between us. Then we become ambassadors, and this is what Jesus wants to do with us. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Every believer in this room, by way of identity, is an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Surely we want to represent him well. And I know me. I know there are times where I think to myself, I hope that person doesn't know that I go to church. Because if they do, you know, like I haven't been the greatest ambassador. But my heart's desire is that I will represent and reflect Jesus well. Always. In other words, when we are ambassadors, we live in this world, but we are citizens of heaven. Therefore, we represent the home that we belong to. The king and the kingdom, that is who we are ambassadors of. When I met the ambassador of the United States, he was incredibly kind. He was really, really nice to us. He was generous. He was hospitable. And he represented his nation well. When people meet us, do they think they represent their kingdom well? This isn't on the screen, but it's important. An ambassador can't change the laws of the land that they live in. Yet they can represent the law of the lands that they come from. So the guy that I met, the ambassador of America, he wasn't there to tell us how horrible Mozambique was and how much he couldn't wait to leave. He was there to represent the United States. Ambassadors secure the security of their citizens and they have full authority to represent their country. We've been given authority by God to represent him and his kingdom. And therefore we go into the world and we say this, I stand here representing God Almighty. And as God works through us, he saves people, but we are his ambassadors. And what's our message? Be reconciled to God. Get back into right relationship with him. City Hill Church of Mamzontoti, you are the king's ambassadors. In this community, you are here to represent the king and the kingdom. The ambassador that I met just by note, he was off duty. He wasn't like, oh, well, I have to pick them up because I'm the ambassador. It was dark. It was late. It was after work. He didn't have to put us in his house. He didn't have to feed us. He didn't have to help us. But he was who he was. And he was thinking, he's an ambassador of the States. But his ambassadorship wasn't like something that he stopped doing off duty. When we are ambassadors, we are ambassadors at home, we are ambassadors at work, we are ambassadors with our families, we are ambassadors when we're alone. We remain ambassadors, not because it's something we just do, it's because it's who we are. We are ambassadors and heaven is our home. Our heart is to see people reconciled to God. So, to summarize today's message and sticking to the course notes for the series, please write this down. As an ambassador, I am on the King's mission, proclaiming the King's message with the King's help. As an ambassador, I am on the King's mission, proclaiming the King's message with the King's help. I want to remind us that when Paul and I planted this church, it was not to have a meeting. It was to be on mission. That same mission applies. This meeting is amazing. It's a blessing. It's a gift from God. The local church is a beautiful thing. God is building his church. This is all he's coming back for. And I'm not just talking about City Hill Church. I'm talking about the church is all that Jesus is coming back for. Yet our mission is not to have a meeting. It's to see people reconciled to their Creator. To reach this community with the gospel. To know Jesus and to make him known. To be ambassadors reconciling people back to God. Right now, church, you are ambassadors. You have a mission given to you by God. And if we go out, like right now, we have some empty chairs. We should be on a mission to say, not a single empty chair. Why? Because people need to be restored to God. And our mission is not to have a meeting. Oh, I went to church on Sunday. Tick. It's to say, I take what I learned at church and I let it overflow and impact my whole week. So when I come to church, I'm just equipped to take the message beyond these walls. This is not the end goal. This is just a byproduct of the mission. Thank you, Stu. To break this down, King's mission. I heard a sermon on Thursday. This guy was saying how King David was being chased, and David at the time was being chased by King Saul. And King Saul rallied his armies against David because he was insecure and threatened by the potential of this king that God was calling. And David is hiding in the caves. And what happens is this military army surround the caves because they know he's up there somewhere. He's up there. And then what happens is Saul and all his army are waiting with one particular mission to kill David. That's their goal. And then David, hiding in the cave, he's there with his mighty men. And these mighty men were exceptionally hardcore. Like next level hardcore. 1,000 to 1, the one's going to win it. These are the toughest of the tough. And they're with David in the cave. And David says, oh, I'm thirsty. So what they do, no instruction, no command. They weren't sent. David just happened to mention that he's thirsty. Right? So what happens is some of the mighty men, they sneak down. They break through into the enemy camp. They go amongst all the enemies. They go through. They get David water. They come back and they give him water to drink. And if you don't know the story, go read it. These guys are hardcore. And they put their lives on the line to break through enemy camp just because he made a comment. Now, God isn't saying, hey, look, here's a suggestion. He's saying, this is God Almighty. I have a command for you, a commission. Go and be my ambassadors. Represent me to the world. If those guys were willing to put their lives on the line to get something to drink for David just because he made a comment, how much more willing should we be to give our everything to serve the King and the kingdom? May this morning be a recommissioning. Your life is full of purpose. It's to see people reconciled to God. And if you right now realize that you are distancing yourself from God or you've drifted, then you be reconciled to God. We should honor the King with everything in us. Skipping down. We are here to proclaim the King's message. There's this quote that says this. Don't write this down. Preach the gospel at all times. Where necessary, use words. Right? It's clever, but it's not really biblical. So, and it is. It is a clever thing to say. Of course, we want our actions to line up with our words, yet it's not one or the other, it's both and. Like Steve says, it's not like us, turn or burn, you horrible sinners, and then we bombard everyone on WhatsApp because we want to like get the message out there. It's us saying what we need to say and demonstrating what we need to demonstrate. Matthew 10 verse 7, listen to this. As you go, proclaim the message, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Right now, we have access to the king and the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven has come near. He doesn't say, hey, if you get an opportunity, and you probably shouldn't, don't say anything, but let your life say something for you. It says, proclaim. Matthew 10, verse 27. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Is that even an English word, roofs? Roofs. From the rooftop, shout it. I'll raise a banner on the streets of my city singing that Jesus is alive. Matthew 10 verse 32-33. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone that believes. Lord, if there's any shame over our lives as to what we believe or why we believe it, may it lift now and a full authority rest over us in Jesus' name. Just to encourage you, some of you may think, I'm not the best at speaking and I don't really know all the scriptures. But you don't realize that you could just make a passing comment to a stranger and that stranger hears something of God. And 5 years down the line, their life is radically turned around. You never even see them again. You don't know. It's just because you weren't ashamed to say something at the time you needed to. So let's trust God for a radical boldness so that we will go and speak the gospel to everyone. If you go through somebody and you get the tellers at Checkers and they're sitting there and they're looking really sad and tired, they work ridiculously long hours. Can I pray for you, Lord? Give them energy, give them strength. God bless you. Jesus is with you. You leave. They probably remember you because you've been through there 100 times, but you don't remember them. And then that word does something in their life and their heart. Church, let's come alive. It's not about how loud we are. It's about being faithful and available. And then last is, we do this with the king's help. Matthew 10 verse 19. But when they arrest you, it's not a good way to start motivating you to go and share the gospel. When they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of the Father speaking through you. When we go and we share our message, the Spirit of God flows through us. And then we become these catalysts of change. And we can't save people. You can't save anyone. But you can tell people a message that opens their eyes to the gospel and the Holy Spirit saves them. God saves people. All we've got to do is be ambassadors. It's a call, it's an honor, it's a privilege. And being an ambassador, like I've said before, is not just what we do, it's who we are. Not ambassadors of City Hill Church of Mams and Toti, ambassadors of the King and His kingdom. And if we do invite people to church, it's because we want them to meet Jesus. We want people to love the church, but because they love Jesus. So the fact that the ambassador of the United States stopped to pick me up and blessed me really impacted my life. And I trust that we had an impact on him because we managed to talk to him about the gospel and we prayed for him and he was very blessed by that. Imagine what we could do being sent by God himself into this community representing the king and his kingdom. I want us to take a moment to pray over friends and families that don't know Jesus. I want us to take the time that we have of ministry seriously. If it matters to you, it matters to God. Come up for prayer. You do not receive because you do not ask. Scripture says. So this morning we're going to ask God. Then if you see an empty chair near you, just put your hand on that space. And let's trust God that those chairs will be full. Because everyone that's sitting on a chair in this room has a name, has a story, has a future, has a call. It's not to fill up the room. It's to see souls reconciled to the living God. Let's pray. Let's pray together. Won't you stand? Lord, I pray that a holy fire will rest on all of us. That if we're not sure what our purpose is, why we were born, what we're supposed to be doing with our lives, where we're supposed to be going. I pray, Lord, this morning will bring clarity to that. Your life is to honor the King. My life is to honor the King. The greatest mistake we could ever make in our lives is to take our eyes off Jesus. Our greatest victory is to surrender to Jesus. I pray, Lord, that everyone in this room will be used in a more powerful way than they've ever been used before. Lord, if there's someone in the room, as people are here, and they're thinking of family members or friends that they know don't know you, I thank you that there will be a longing in their heart, a yearning to see them reconciled to God. Back into your arms, Lord. May we be a church on fire. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Give us the words to speak. Give us a passion for your church. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us through your prophetic voices this morning. Thank you, Lord, for creating a space where we can lift up your name. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for a space where we can be equipped and encouraged to go out and be effective. I thank you that our job is not who we are, it's what we do. Who we are is ambassadors of the Most High God. Sons and daughters of the King of Kings. And I pray as well, Lord, into the word Donnie gave this morning, that we won't be so concerned about fruit issues when we don't deal with root issues. If there's stuff in our lives that we need to let go of or chop out or surrender or move away from, I thank you that you give us the strength by your Holy Spirit to make those cuts, make them clean, and to have the faith to know we can walk away into freedom. Some have your hands up. Just as an act of faith, won't you raise your hands? Thank you, Jesus, as we raise our hands this morning, Lord, for fresh anointing to rest on us. As it rains outside, Lord Jesus, may the rain of your presence fall over our lives. If we've got labels we've attached to ourselves about who we are and how we failed and how messed up we are, I thank you that those labels fall off today, and the only label we have is from you. The words that you speak to those with hands raised, well done, good and faithful servants, with you I am well pleased. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that we live in your delight. Use us in a way you've never used us before. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for revival in our hearts and in our town. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.